The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Would you believe it was this week, 15 years ago, that Steve Jobs announced the very first iPhone? Just think for a second, like, how much smartphones have changed our lives in that period of time, like less than a generation. I'm joined now by Ciara O'Brien, who's a technology journalist with the Irish Times. Good afternoon, Ciara.
Good afternoon.
Ciara, remind us what the first iPhone was like at the time.
I actually have one here. This is what it looked like.
Oh, yeah. looks like an iPod.
It does, yeah. It's basically like a thick iPod. And do you know, if you look at the newer iPhones that are coming out now, there's similarities in it. But yeah, it basically is an iPod with a...
So gone back to the curved back and the curved edges.
I mean, they've kind of gone back and forward between, you know, like the stainless steel kind of thing. They went to plastic for a while. You know, it's basically very chunky and quite small. If you look at the screen is tiny compared to what we have now.
And we thought at the time it was amazing.
And it was amazing at the time.
What did it have on it at the time? Just remind people in terms of apps and functionality and everything.
Well, not an awful lot really, because when they announced it in 2007, the idea was that this was going to have a set amount of apps, and you know, if you wanted to build an app for the iPhone, you could build a web app on Safari, and that didn't go down too well, and people immediately started looking at ways that they could actually build their own native apps for the phone, the ones that would run on the operating system instead of having to go through the web browser. So I think within a month of it being on the market, because remember, they announced it in January, they didn't launch it until June, it didn't go on sale. There was this massive lag between, which we don't have now. That gap got gradually shorter and shorter, and now they announce it and then the pre-orders go on sale and you can have an iPhone 2 weeks after they announce it, if you're lucky. But what they did was they jailbroke it. So they found a way around all the locks that Apple had on the software and started building their own apps. If they had decided to stick with that, if they had said, right, the only software that's allowed on this is Apple built, or, you know, heavily, you know, we're going to limit everything that's on, this is going to be a closed shop, I don't know it would have been as successful, because the whole strength of the iPhone is what it can do. And a lot of what it can do has come from outside of Apple. You know, they built the platform for it. And then, so the software developers kit for the App Store, as we know, wasn't launched, I think, till March 2008 or sometime early in 2008 anyway. So it was a good while after the iPhone itself was launched
What could you do with a basic iPhone at that time? You could take a picture and stuff, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could take a picture, but you couldn't take video. It didn't have GPS. You couldn't even copy and paste. So you basically had internet access in the palm of your hand in a way that was, I suppose, more accessible to people. Having that big touch screen, because if you remember what we had at the time, this looked absolutely high tech. Now, it might not now. I mean, people might
have. What did we have at the time?
We had some Samsung phones that were run on their own operating system. I mean, like, Android kind of crept up behind Apple, but, you know, Apple was kind of we had Blackberries as well. That was the other thing. We had an awful lot of Blackberries.
And the tiny little, there was a whole keyboard on the Blackberry.
There was a QWERTY keyboard on the Blackberry. And, you know, some people like those and some people still like those, because you don't have to look at a keyboard when you're typing on a physical keyboard. You know, if you've grown up learning how to type, you know this, you know, you don't have to. Yeah. Whereas if you try and do it on a touch screen, there's a high chance you're going to type something completely the opposite of what you thought you were typing. And that was actually one of the reasons why I was doing some research on this recently. I found a few articles that basically said the iPhone is going to fail, and this is why the iPhone is going to fail. And one of the reasons was because it doesn't have a physical keyboard. Now, we all know obviously that's not the case. I mean, even BlackBerry decided that a touchscreen was the way to go. Now, they did do kind of hybrid devices where they had one that slid out. But basically, at the time that the iPhone came out, you had kind of a few Samsung phones. You had Nokia. Nokia was king of the phones, and we all know how that ended up. You know, now you can get some very good Nokia phones, but they went down an experimental route for a while, and they had a phone that looked like a lipstick, and they had a phone that had a circular keypad on it, and great, but, you know, wasn't what people wanted. This came along, this was what people wanted. And it just took off, and anybody who didn't keep up with that and didn't keep up with the app side of things as well got left behind, because there was speculation for a while that Android would never catch up with Apple, because, you know, they didn't have the support from developers. People were developing for iPhone, and then, you know, Android, and still in some cases it is a kind of an afterthought, you know, that they developed for Apple first because they were making
Android's
money.
Android's bigger in the market, isn't it?
Yeah, in total there are more than a billion iPhones in active use at the moment. There are more, I think it's close to 3 billion now, it's over 2.5 billion Android phones.
Okay.
But if you remember, Apple is one company making an iPhone. They have 8 models of iPhone on sale at the moment, whereas Android, you have so many different manufacturers. Not all Androids are created equally. You know, some of them are entry level, some of them are the kind of high end things. I think it basically goes Samsung, Apple, and then everybody else.
Okay. In terms of though how smartphones, not just the iPhone, or all of them have changed our lives, like it's small little things that you forget. Like I was thinking about the fights when we're driving abroad, mm-hmm. and landing in suddenly into the middle of a city, like when you didn't want to be there and not knowing where. And now, like, you could basically go anywhere and you've this thing talking to you, telling you exactly where to turn and everything, wherever you are.
And not only that, but if you're in a country where you don't know the language, the idea of trying to learn some of the language before you went, now it's not necessary. I mean, obviously it's nice to be able to have a conversation with people, but if you are stuck, there's translation apps on the phones, so you don't even need, and it'll translate, the cameras will translate text for you, so you don't even need to know what the items on the menu are anymore. And there's so many things that it's replaced. I mean, I don't own an alarm clock anymore. I used to. I don't own one of those anymore. I have a smartwatch that, you know, it kind of links up with the phone and keeps you connected all the time, which is not necessarily a good thing either.
Yeah.
It's largely replaced GPS for most people. Now, there are some advantages to having a standalone GPS, not least if your battery dies, everything goes. I have my digital wallet, and especially now, I think since the pandemic hit, people have seen the value in having their payment cards stored in a digital wallet on their phone, because people don't use cash anymore. I can't remember the last time I had cash on me.
Yeah.
Again, not always a great thing, because when your phone dies, what do you do?
Yeah.
It has my loyalty cards. It has travel cards. When I go to London, I can use an Oyster card on it. You know, I can use it instead of an Oyster card. It's opened up. I actually remember saying the story to somebody the other day. I was in a taxi in Los Angeles about 7 years ago, and the taxi driver was telling me how he was going on about how great his iPhone was. You know, this was the best thing he'd ever bought. You know, he'd been brought up in a poor family, and now this had just opened up worlds for him that he never thought would have been possible. You know, he was teaching himself different things through his phone, things that, you know, wouldn't have been open to him regularly.
Yeah.
And it just kind of struck me, you know, we're so privileged and we don't even realize it, you know, that we kind of, you know, you buy a phone and it's just, you know, it's a phone.
And it has enhanced our lives, but for some people it actually changed everything.
Yeah. And I mean, there's an app, Grace app, which is an app created by Lisa Marie Domican, who she created it for her daughter. And it's because her daughter was nonverbal. She has autism and she's nonverbal. And she created this instead of these PECS books that kids grow up with, because it helps them communicate. So if you're nonverbal, you can use this instead of talking to people. You can make yourself understood. And I think we underestimate that. I mean, it gives people a voice. But those books as well can also make you stand out. And as children get older, you know, they might not be as comfortable with it. And it's also much easier to update. So she created the app. She saw the iPhone, decided this actually could be used as a replacement, or, you know, kind of an add-on for these PECS books, and has created an app that's been very successful and has given a voice to a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have it.
Yeah, amazing. And then on the other side of things, I suppose social media, for all the good and bad of it, would not be what it is today without smartphones at all, would it?
Probably not. I mean, like, Facebook when it launched was popular, but it really took off, I think, when it got to mobile. And there was kind of talk about whether or not mobile would actually be the downfall of Facebook, because on the desktop they had a way to serve you ads and they hadn't quite cracked that on mobile.
Okay,
now, obviously they have now, but, you know, they're still there. But yeah, when you think about it, you can talk to somebody instantly through your phone instead of having to think about it. And it is both a good thing and a bad thing, because I think we sometimes fire things off on smartphones that if we had to kind of get back to our computer, think about it, we might not. You know, but that, again, that's more of a human nature than a technology thing, I think.
Yeah. There's a texter here says, I remember the great Jerry Ryan taking us through his new iPhone all those years ago, live on the radio. I can only imagine the fun he would have had with social media and Twitter. Another texter says that the best phone to have is the Nokia 3310. You don't become addicted to it and only charge it once a week. And that's from Mike. Quick question before we go on. What do you advise people who have a number of old mobile phones at home to do with them? I'm not interested in selling them, but we'd really like to know, What's the most environmentally friendly solution? That's from Jane in Dublin.
Depends on what the phones are. Some places will take older iPhones and use them. Like some of the autism charities will take them to use with, if they're in working order or if they can be repaired, they will take them to use with children. The other thing is just we recycle them. Anything you have at home, cables, everything, send it in. If you can't find a recycling program, send it in to the We Recycling centres. They will look after them. Apple have a recycling program for its own phones. There's so many of them around the place. But yeah, just don't leave them sitting in a drawer. I mean, if they're working phones, you can use them as things like security cameras. There are apps if they're still working and they still have the necessary software on it. You can use them as security cameras around the home.
Okay, so if once they're onto a Wi-Fi kind of basically.
If they're still working, in working order.
Yeah. Come here, back to the Apple thing. Mm-hmm. You're saying there's a school of thought like that. You know, Apple is what? It's been touching over three trillion
yes.
in value now. And like it's like Apple owned the future. This couldn't possibly go in any other direction. We've been here before with that kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. You're saying that young people that coming up now might not want Apple because it might be seen as a bit boomer or a bit Gen X or that.
Well, not right now, but there was a school of thought. I mean, for a while there was all this talk about how nobody's going to want an iPhone because if your parents have it, it's really not cool. But I actually think the iPhone has managed to transcend that. Yeah. I don't think actually that's going to be an issue for them because they keep coming up with new things. And you know, I mean, look, it's not just about coming up with the latest and greatest phones. Once people kind of get sucked into the ecosystem, I mean, you can see me here. I have an iPhone, but I also have an iPad. You know, I have a Mac at home. Once you're kind of in that ecosystem, we have Apple TV and HomeKit and all that stuff. Yeah. So that, you know, all my smart home stuff is linked in with it. For me to change over to a completely different system, you know, it would be an awful lot. Now, I do have two systems running in the house because I use Android as well. But for most people, you know, if they invest in one, that's it.
They're in.
You know,
they're in. Yeah. Listen, moving on from that, tell me about the Consumer Electronics Show in the US.
Yes. So
this was last week, was it?
You
were there virtually.
I was there virtually, yes, because an awful lot of people pulled out this year purely because of COVID. And quite a few of the big exhibitors who would usually be there also kind of either scaled down their presence or said they weren't going because of the rise in COVID cases. But they still managed to put on a really decent show.
This is the big one where we see all the new stuff that's coming down the tracks.
We see the stuff that could come down the tracks, might make it, and we see the stuff that will never make it just because it's just, some of it's just hilarious. You know, there's always this vaporware stuff that makes a big splash and we all talk about it because it's so weird and then it just goes away. I mean, I think I remember
For example,
I don't know if they ever made it to market, but I do remember seeing somebody with their animatronic tails. Just walking around with animatronic tails attached to them.
For actual people.
Okay. I mean, there was a year where everybody was on those hoverboards and the amount of middle-aged men who were in danger of actually breaking their spines I was standing there watching. I'm like, do you want to try? I'm like, hell no. I am not. And as I said that, the guy who was actually demonstrating it fell backwards and fell on his back. And I just thought, that is why I am not doing it.
Because
of that.
But you see, he never had a hoverboard when he was a child. And he was like, I'm my own boss now and I have my own money. I'm going to buy my own hoverboard.
I will be able to pay for the spinal surgery.
So what did you see this year that we might be interested in?
Well, there was lots of stuff. I mean, there's always the fitness tech. Withings have this body scale now that will kind of, it goes through your whole body, tells you, you know, how much muscle you have in your right leg and your left leg. And if you're in any way kind of, I suppose, sporty, this is something you're going to be interested in. It'll also tell you, it measures the electrical kind of impulses, the nerve activity in your feet. And that can be an indicator of chronic disease that's oncoming. So, you know, there's all these things that will link in with that. There's obviously the new TVs. Sony have a whole heap of new TVs. There was the metaverse.
What more do we need from a TV now? Are they bigger?
Better picture quality. They're using things like they're linking in with the Bravia cam. So if you move away from the TV, it'll automatically dim. So it's not using as much electricity. It will customize the sound for your position in the room using this camera. A lot of stuff, to be honest, that's probably going to not go over the heads of most people, but it's going to be something that you don't really want, but it's nice to have. I mean, CES was where we saw 3D TVs. I mean, I have a 3D TV at home. Well, it's an old one. It was used for games. I was 3D games and stuff like that. But to be honest, in 3D never really, as a home thing, never really took off. So, you know.
Did you wear, you had to wear glasses in front of the TV?
It's very antisocial. And you can't lie down. That was my big thing, was you can't lie down on the sofa when you're watching a film on 3D TVs because it all goes a bit
okay,
wonky.
You have to be at the right angle to it. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So. Okay. But they had stuff like that. Then they had the metaverse stuff. We've been hearing about the metaverse. Facebook is going to create, well, not create, but be very heavily involved in the metaverse. They had all these haptic vests, a company called OO, they had these haptic vests that if you're playing a game in the metaverse and somebody punches you, you'll feel it. Personally, probably a level of realism I could do without.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also, if you're having a video call with somebody in the metaverse, well, it wouldn't be a video call, sorry, a virtual call with somebody in the metaverse, that if they hug you, you'll feel it. It'll translate into the haptic feedback. It's the, all these things that will kind of make the metaverse a bit more realistic. They had a microphone that looked like an instrument of torture, but it, because and something else that you can feel hot and cold. Not really sure I want that, but you know, I'm sure in years to come, again, it could be like the iPhone. You could be listening back to this in 15 years' time, listening to me going, "Yeah, no, that's not going to take off," and laughing at me because I said this would, and we're all in the metaverse. But yeah, I mean, there's stuff like that. Then they had the creepy robots. There's always creepy robots at CES. Yeah. Always. They had the one Amica, which apparently tried to replicate realistic facial expressions. They never do.
Why?
I have no clue. Okay. I'm assuming in years to come, these are going to be our robot servants. But to be honest, it probably looks like, to me, it looked like the last thing you see before a robot suffocates you. It's just like when you touch its nose, it reacts as it would if I walked over and touched you on the nose. Now, I mean, you wouldn't be impressed. The robot was not impressed. There's also the Pediroid or Pediroid. What, I don't know how you pronounce it. But
let's go Pedi. Yeah,
we'll go with Pedi. Yeah, well, it's pediatric robot, so
okay,
could be either.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a robot that is a small child. It looks like a small child, and it reacts in the same way a small child would. If you try to give them an injection or kind of carry out any medical treatment or dental treatment, it has teeth. It's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, but hang on, that's useful.
It's useful, yeah, but it is terrifying. It kind of jitters and it shakes, tries to shake you off, and it kicks. And the idea is it's more realistic. So when you actually go to you know, treat a child, whether it's dental or medical, that you'll be prepared that these are not, they're not the dummies that will lie still.
Yeah. Okay.
So stuff like that. You know, it's.
All right, we'll come back to you in 15 years then and see what of that has survived. They'd all be better off making more apps for children with autism and maybe trying to improve hearing aids as well is something that I'd be. Okay, Ciara O'Brien, technology journalist with the Irish Times, thank you very much, and we'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.